reading is Psalms 42, verses 1 through 5. Psalms 42. As a hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God, when I shall come and appear before God. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And may God add a blessing to the reading of the word.
The message today, I've called it A Conversation with Your Soul. A Conversation with Your Soul. And before we begin, let's ask for the Lord to be with us. Heavenly Father, reign above us. Lord Jesus, walk beside us. Holy Spirit, infill us today. That as we have come into your presence, we seek now a word from on high. Lord, as you have chosen the foolishness of preachers and preaching, Lord, even now speak through my mouth that the words that we hear today would be your words and not my own. May they find their source in your mind and heart, we ask. In the name of Jesus and through the ministry of his Spirit. Amen. So, when is the last time you've had a conversation with your soul? Well, now, what are you talking about, preacher? Conversation with my soul? Are you saying that I'm supposed to kind of walk around talking to myself? You know, usually when we see people talking to themselves, we kind of think, well, maybe they've got a little issue that they're dealing with, or maybe they're not quite 100% together there. Well, sometimes I talk to myself. My wife, you know, I'll be kind of in the house, and my wife will say, what? And I say, well, I was just singing something, or I was just talking to myself. I think probably most of us do that from time to time. We have a conversation with ourselves, and sometimes I feel like I'm the only one that understands what I'm talking about anyhow. Might as well argue with myself. Nobody else will listen, right? Well, that's not exactly what I'm talking about. A conversation with your soul. Now, what is the soul? Now, the soul, depending on the part of the Bible you look at, may have a slightly different connotation or a little different definition. Of course, in Genesis 2:7, we read about the Lord God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and he became a living soul, right? So the first reference to soul has to do with the whole person, the complete individual, the self, okay? Mind, body, the dust of the earth, the breath of God, the human soul, living being, okay? But later on in the Old Testament, sometimes you have the soul kind of referred to as another way of saying, talking to myself, talking to my being, okay? Addressing my soul as to what's the issue with my soul. What's the problem with my soul? What is it that makes my soul? And really, he's saying he's talking to himself. He's talking to his being. He's not talking about, you know, don't worry. He's not talking about some wispy, you know, immortal being that's flying around up in heaven or hell or something, you know. But he's talking to himself. And we have this example in our scripture verse today, Psalm 42. And I'd like you to have your Bibles open there because we're gonna focus our time on the 42nd Psalm today. When's the last time you've had a conversation with your soul? Do you talk to your soul? It kind of fits in line with what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13:5. We are to examine ourselves, okay, to see if we be in the faith. Sometimes we have to be very brutal and ask very blunt questions about ourselves, our soul. How is my soul doing in relationship to Christ today? Am I growing? Am I growing spiritually? Is each day a little bit of a closer walk with the Lord Jesus than the day before? Well, here's a man talking to his soul. Now, let's just start off at the beginning of Psalm 42, shall we? Psalm 42, I'm reading from the New King James Version. I'm going to use a little bit different wording, not much. You know, the old King James says heart, mine says dear, same thing, all right? But it starts off, Psalm 42, as the deer, or the heart, pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. Wow. As the deer I've seen in the woods sometimes deer that are, cows and other four-legged creatures, when they haven't had water in a while, and it's a hot day, and they're thirsty, and they're, water. And maybe you felt that way sometimes on a really hot day, and you just want a cold drink of water, okay? And you find yourself kind of panting, and all you can do is fixate on that cold glass, refreshing water, lemonade, something to cool your thirst. And here the psalmist talks about not water, but he's talking about a relationship with God. In other words, he's addressing the truth in his life that there is nothing he hungers more for, nothing he thirsts more for, than to be with God. Now, how many of us have had that kind of thirst before? Probably, in our culture, it's sadly safe to say, probably few people ever experience that kind of a thirst. You know, we find ways of covering up that thirst, right? You know, just like, many people, instead of drinking pure, cool water to solve their thirst, they may have alcoholic beverages, they may take coffee, they may drink anything else, but that which God has given to comfort our thirst. Okay? And in our culture today, even though God has placed in every human individual kind of an inner longing for Him, a sense of that the only God can fill the space in my life that I've tried to fill with so many other things, you know, work, degrees, popularity, make more money, if I can just keep myself busy enough so that I don't have to think about the spiritual condition of my soul. Well, here is a man, the writer of this psalm, who says, my real only goal in life, the focus of my life, I'm thirsting for the Lord. I thirst to know Christ. I thirst to be in His presence. Ah, God, give every one of us a thirst that becomes paramount over every other craving, every other desire, but to be with God, to be with Christ. Okay? So, as the deer pants for the water, my soul thirsts for you. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God who shall come and appear before God. My tears have been my food day and night, for they continually say to me, where is your God? People looking for real God chasers in our society today. You know, it's interesting. You know, if you tell somebody that, man, my hero is, you know, some big sports star that makes mega bucks, you know, or some entertainment star, they'll be cool with that. You know, oh, you like this person? Oh, great, I like them too, you know. But you tell God, you tell somebody that my hero or the one who my soul really reaches out to is God, many people are going to look at you kind of funny. God? Well, you know, I worship God. I go to church once a week, you know. I'm kind of casual about it, but I worship God. But if you tell someone that your heart and soul longs for God above and beyond every other longing, every other desire, they look at you kind of funny in our culture. And yet here we have an example whose soul did reach out for God. I hunger, I thirst for Him. But now a few verses down, he describes this conversation he has with his soul. You ever talk to your soul? I think it's a good thing to do sometimes. Again, it's like examining yourself, the condition of your soul, the part of you that really makes up yourself, your thinking, emotional, your spiritual self, your soul, your being. He comes down to verse 5. He says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Okay? Why are you cast down? Why isn't my soul exuberant and joyful always? All right? Now, let's be honest and say, we all go through moods, right? Sometimes we feel up. Sometimes we don't feel so up. Sometimes life seems like a roller coaster where we go down, we go up, we go down, we go up. And we all have those moments where we realize, for some reason, and you may not even be able to put your finger on it, okay? Why do I feel so blue today? All right? Why do I feel so in the dumps? Everything just kind of seems negative, and everything just kind of, I just don't feel like getting out of bed today. All right? You ever have those days? I think most of us do, from time to time. Some of it has to do with personality. And I'll be honest with you, you know, I have, you know, people tell me I have kind of an exuberant personality. Maybe it's the Irish in me, or maybe it's just I'm joyful in the Lord. Maybe it's because I have a wonderful wife and kids and so many good things going on. But even I sometimes have those days where I wonder, is it really worth it? You know, is it really worth it all? Why do I get up? Why do I do what I do? Okay? And the counsel that God's Word gives us is there is a time to address and confront your soul. Talk to your soul rather than let your soul talk to you. Here's what we normally do. We listen as our soul talks to us. Well, yeah, life is pretty miserable, isn't it? Yeah, well, there probably, anything bad can happen. You know, it's going to happen. Well, I guess you got a lot of reasons to complain. You got a lot to be upset about. Why don't you just ruminate in your misery? Why don't you just lay and flounder in your grief? Why don't you just be depressed? Why don't you just be negative? Why don't you just criticize? Why don't you? You know what you're doing? You're letting your soul take hold of you. Huh? You're letting your soul talk to you instead of you talking to your soul. Now, what the Bible would have us do, what God's Word would have us do, is talk to our soul and kind of grab it by the neck. Okay? And ask yourself the question, why are you cast down? In other words, step outside yourself a little bit. Okay? Why am I feeling negative today? Why am I feeling down in the dumps? Maybe it's as simple as I didn't eat a good breakfast. Or maybe the breakfast I ate wasn't particularly nourishing. Or maybe I just didn't get enough sleep. You ever feel down in the dumps because you've been stressed out over things at work or stressed out over your family, and you lay awake at night and you can't get to sleep, and you get up in the morning and you feel drowsy and you just don't want to face anybody today, and you got to go back and face your boss and face your work, and I just don't feel like it today. You have those days? Okay, I'm the only one. Mac, maybe you know. Okay. All right. And we let our soul talk to us and tell us, yeah, you know, you feel pretty down in the dumps. It's probably because you are down in the dumps. It's like, you don't have an inferiority complex. You are inferior. That's why you're down in the dumps. We let our soul tell us all kinds of things. Okay? We let our soul speak to us negatively, rather than step outside and ask ourselves, why are you cast down, O my soul? And by the way, Christians get cast down just like non-Christians. All right? Because there's a lot of factors involved here. Again, it may be something you're eating, not eating right. It may be not getting enough rest. Maybe not enough exercise. Maybe a whole lot of factors can contribute. And rather than let our soul talk to us and tell us how miserable we are, sometimes we need to step outside and say, soul? And I said to myself, self? Why are you so down in the dumps? Why does it seem like everything is just negative and downbeat and, you know? And so we take our hands and we grab hold of our soul and say, now, soul, I'm going to tell you a few things. I'm going to tell you how you should live, how you should feel. I'm going to tell you what emotions you should have. Now, no one else can tell you what emotions you should have, but you can tell your soul what emotions it should have. The psalmist goes on. He says, why are you disquieted within me? Now, this is a godly man writing this. You know, sometimes we all get disquieted within us. He says, here's the solution. Here's the answer. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him. Put your hope in God. Praise Him for the help of His countenance or His face looking upon me. Okay? The answer for a troubled soul is not to keep looking at the troubled soul. All right? And it's not to keep listening to your troubled soul. Your troubled soul is always going to find reasons to be miserable, okay, and gloomy and depressed. Your troubled soul is always going to look at the downside of life, because that's human nature. Ever since the fall of man, We've had a propensity to kind of look at the downside of life, the negative aspects of other people, the headlines in the news. Oh, life is just so terrible, so wretched. But he says to the soul, the psalmist says to his soul, don't be gloomy, don't be downcast, look unto the Lord. Put your hope in God. I will yet praise Him. Because he recognizes that in God is the answer to all of his troubles. In God is the solution to all of his sorrows, all of his concerns. Puts his trust in God and he praises God. And you know what happens when we praise God? Okay? You know why Jesus told us to leap? Now, we're not going to do this today. But he says, I think it's in Luke 5:22, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Remember, ever read that verse? Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Now, this is when people are saying negative things about you. And I don't know about you, but I don't like negative things said about me. You know, it feels good when people say positive things, but negative things, oh, they can cut, you know. But they attack your soul, you know, your inner being. And Jesus says, when these things happen, rejoice and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. Okay, now we're not going to do this, but I've heard of some preachers that have actually had their group of listeners do that. When you leap for joy and praise the Lord and take your troubles to the Lord, guess what happens? In some wonderful sense, your troubles stay up in the air with the Lord, and you come down a changed person. Now, what have you actually done? You've taken your soul. Rather than listening to the complaints and worries of your soul, oh soul, why are you cast down within me? You have taken your soul in hand, you put a harsh grip on that bugger, and you said, now I'm going to tell you some things. Rather than listen to you, I'm going to worship God. I'm going to praise God for the good things He has done. And I'm going to praise Him and thank Him that being connected to Him, I know whatever is happening to my life right now, the outcome can only be good. How do I know that? Because I know according to Romans 8, all things work together for good, who love God and are called according to His purpose, right? I know that if God forbid, you know, I drop dead today, I know that if I am in Christ, the next face I see will be the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it gives me so much joy to be able to go to the hospital and visit someone in the hospital bed. And even if they have terminal cancer, and I don't wish that on anyone, don't misunderstand me here. But even if they are in a terminal condition, I can tell them these little words. Remember these words. In the twinkling of an eye. In the twinkling of an eye, you will be given a brand new cancer-free body. Sickness-free, death-free, in the twinkling of an eye. And that's why I can confront my soul and say, look, even though it may not seem really good right now, even though circumstances may seem overwhelmingly bleak and sour and dour right now, I can still confront my soul and ask, why are you downcast? Hope in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. The Lord's going to make the end game turn out all right according to His will. And the Lord loves you, and the Lord has a plan for you, and the Lord has a final page to write in your life. Your life isn't done yet. The Lord has something good to do for you. In fact, you may be, you know, look for the surprising ways in which the Lord is with you, even during the time of your affliction. And so the psalmist asks his soul, he talks to his soul, why are you cast down? Why indeed? Notice again, I'm repeating here a little bit for emphasis. He talks to his soul and doesn't let his soul talk to him. You follow what I mean by that? Don't let your soul dominate you. You dominate it. Don't let the situations and the circumstances in your life drive you into this gloomy despondency where you want to throw your hands up in despair and toss in the towel and give it all. Oh, what can I do? What can I do? No, you talk to your soul. Ask your soul, why are you downcast? Why are you troubled? Trust in God. Praise Him because you know that God can take care of you. That God will, in fact, take care of you. Paul says to examine your soul. You know, make sure you're in the Lord. Now, when we talk about that, when we talk about examining your soul, and that's in 2 Corinthians 13:5, you know, he's not talking about a morbid type of self-focused fascination with yourself, okay? He's not talking about keep looking at yourself and become morbidly introspective with yourself. But he is saying every once in a while it's good to kind of talk to your soul. Soul, how are you doing today? What advancement have you made in your spiritual life? Are you studying the Bible deeper? Are you praying deeper? Is your walk with Jesus growing? Okay? Do an examination of your spiritual life, in other words. Because if you're living, you're growing, right? Now, if you're dead, you're not growing. And God wants us to be living creatures, living stones, he calls it. And there's three ways to examine this. Three ways to examine the soul. And I'm going to call your attention now. We're going to close in just a couple of minutes. Now, we had a discussion in Sabbath school that gave me permission to go a little bit past 12 o'clock. Is that right, Mac? Okay. So if I go too far past 12, you get together and Mac and you talk to him about that, okay? Okay. Just teasing you, Mac. All right. John 3. John chapter 3. Three things to talk to your soul about. And these three things have to do with one word, four-letter word, must. If you're a Christian, you must have these three factors in your life, these three characteristics about your soul. One is you must be born again, John 3:7. Jesus, of course, is talking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus is wondering about what Jesus means when he says, unless you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. In verse 7, Jesus says, don't marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Ask your soul before God, am I truly born again? Have I experienced the new birth? Am I just going through the motions of being a Christian, going to church, paying my tithes, keeping the Sabbath? Or has the Holy Spirit of God actually come into my life and given me that new birth experience? How can I know for sure? Well, you know for sure because Christ is now in the center of your life. He becomes dear to you. He becomes a companion to you. He's someone that you desire to more and more become like and spend time with. Because some of the things you used to love, you no longer love. And the things that you didn't used to love, such as going to church, such as going to Bible study, you become to enjoy more. You must be born again. Ask your soul, have you been born again? Have you been taken dominance by the Lord Jesus Christ? And number two, verse 14, skip down to verse 14. Jesus, still talking, says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Paul talked about, you know, I carry the cross of Jesus in my body wherever I go. Everywhere you go, how high is Jesus lifted up? When people see you, is Christ lifted up in your life, in your actions, in your demeanor? Nothing that puts Jesus down more in the life of a Christian than an unhappy Christian. Okay? Now, I'm not saying you have to go around being giddy all the time. I'm not saying that you have to go around la 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 jolly all the time. But I'm saying people can tell when they get to know you by the expressions on your face, by the words that you use, by the way that you talk. They can tell there's something different about this person. And when you're speaking in an upbeat, positive way, and you're using your influence for good, and you're seeking to selflessly help other people, even though there's nothing in it for you, people look at you and they see Christ lifted up in you. That's because you have taken possession of your soul and you have asked your soul, is Jesus being lifted up in you? When people look at me, when they hear me, are they experiencing the presence of Christ in me when I talk to them, when I interrelate with them? And then finally, John 3:30, another must praise. He must increase, but I must decrease. Who must increase? Jesus. Okay? That's what spiritual growth is about. Jesus increasing as you decrease. Now, that's hard for us sometimes because that means I have to crucify my pride. I have to crucify my opinions. I have to crucify me. All right? And so I need to talk to my soul. Rather than listening to my soul, I talk to my soul and say, is Jesus increasing in you as I continually decrease? So that more and more in my life, people see the difference. And I notice the difference. Jesus becomes greater and greater in my esteem, in my evaluation, and I become less and less. And I begin to realize more and more, it's not about me, it's about Him. You know, when we first come to Christ, it's so that we can be saved for the kingdom, right? When we mature in the Christian life, we realize it's not about saving my puny soul for the kingdom. Oh yeah, I want to be there, don't misunderstand me. But it's about every part of my life being an expression of the glory of God. It's living every part of my life for His glory, in praise of Him. Am I there yet? No. Is any of us totally there yet? No. But the question is, not have we arrived yet, but is Jesus continually increasing? And are you, am I, decreasing? That must be a part of the spiritual nurture of your soul. So we must take our soul in hand. Don't let your soul dominate you. You dominate it. By the grace of God, you be strong and take hold with your hands. And you talk to your soul. And when your soul is unhappy, ask your soul, why are you unhappy? When your soul is feeling depression, why are you cast down within me? When your soul is going through something negative, and we all do, why do I feel the way that I feel about this particular circumstance? And by the way, it's perfectly all right to feel certain ways, okay? When we lose someone we love, it's perfectly natural and all right to grieve. When we feel sick, it's all right to be sick. But we need to take our soul in hand and address it in the name of Jesus and talk to it. And not let it dominate us. And believe that the answer that God gives us for the affliction of our soul is to take our eyes off of our condition and to look unto Him who alone can bless us. May God help every one of us to take our soul in hand. Don't let our soul dominate us. We control it. In the name of Christ. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank You for speaking this message of encouragement to us this morning. We thank You, Lord, that You have made us a soul with all of its complexity, all of its potential, all of its capability of reflecting You in this world. Lord, we realize we need to take hold. We need to confront our soul from time to time. Step outside of ourselves even and ask ourselves why we feel, why we react, why we respond the way that we do. Now, Lord, we pray that You bless each one of us. And help us, Lord, to remember the truthfulness of these words we're about to sing. Yes, God will take care of us. God will provide for us. He will take care of us. Help us to have faith in Him until that day when faith gives way to sight and we see Him face to face. Him for whom our soul longeth. In Jesus' name, amen.